You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
First time shot comes in. Oh, Jake Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from Tuesday's Manchester Premier Cup final, as well as FC United's league winning match for the women's team from Sunday afternoon.
Sharp Radio for sharp listeners. I'm Lee Sharp and you're listening to FCUM Radio. Pop pickers.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to This Club Is My Club right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as all the silverware, later in the show we'll be hearing if FC United could sign off their league season in style with a home match against North Ferriby United from Saturday afternoon. But before that, it's a Tuesday night at Ewan Fields for the final of the Manchester Premier Cup between FC United and MPL side Trafford. To hear how the Reds got on, it's over to our FC Live team now with all the goals.
And it's going to be a corner ball actually to Trafford. Ball whipped in again. Caldicott with a header and a goal. And a great header and a great goal. And there was nothing FC United and Manchester's defence could do about that. As I say, 6'3", he got in front of his man there. And he had directed it with a lot of power, Josh Mitten-esque in fairness, and up over the top. And
yeah, the marking was poor to be fair when the ball came in, but the header was true, and Allinson didn't have a prayer really.
Corner comes in, who's on the end of it? It's Kay, goal!
Oh, the captain's goal.
And he gets his hand and he pats the FC badge. And it was a good header there from totally unmarked, dreadful defending from the from Trafford, but it was a good directed header, and nothing Shenton could do with it.
Well, we've had two pretty similar goals from corners where the header's been unchallenged and they've hit the spot.
There's the ball given away by Senior, the halfway line. Ball picked up now by Sean Miller. Miller plays a lovely ball through, is an opportunity for the number three. Can he get the shot away? Well, he takes an extra touch, does it? He shows the opportunity had gone, but he made sure that he hadn't. And Senior lost the ball on the halfway line. No one but really helping FC United of Manchester. Well, 2 minutes to go in this half. I mean, as Racky plays the ball on the right-hand side. Can Senior make amends? He plays the ball forward, but it's given away. And Shenton has to come out, though. And he stabs the ball forward. And, oh, he gets a little bit lucky there. It was like a snooker shot with his foot there. Along the green bays. As Seedy now pumps into the penalty area. 1-2 there. Seedy, can he make it 2-2? Yes, he can! Well, he just got a rollicking from his manager and he got a rollicking from his goalkeeper, but he makes amends down the right-hand side. A nice little bit of work. A 1-2 there with FC United's number 7, Kieran Glynn. An acute angle and two apiece.
Burst into life with two goals in a minute.
There's Racky on the halfway line. Can't afford to lose the ball. Does really well there, Racky. It's a handball. Referee doesn't see it. Oh, there's a late challenge there by Derbyshire. And Derbyshire's going to be sent off.
That's the end of the game for him. That is the end of the match.
Derbyshire there. And the big number nine is going into the book. And the referee's going to send him off. Second yellow. Off he goes.
That is a blow for Trafford.
And the game finishes a draw here at Ewan Fields, and it's going to be penalties. First penalty is going to be taken by Trafford's number 12, Jack Dorney, left-footed. What can he do? Jack Dorney steps up. Straight down the middle, 1-0. Next player to come up is FC United Manchester's player-manager, Tom Greaves. Now, I was watching hockey do this the other day, and you know what they did? All those players that were taking penalties were there, having a little huddle, and everyone that wasn't involved wasn't there, so you don't have this ridiculous long walk. And I think it's crazy. But anyway, Tom Greaves steps up against Grant Shenton. Greavesy, can he make it one apiece? Yes, he can. The next person to step up is going to be Chris Palmer. Had a decent game, Chris Palmer, number seven for Trafford. Right-footed against Lloyd Allenson. Yeah, takes 8 to 10 steps back. He steps up. What can he do? Oh, great penalty. Great penalty to the goalkeeper, goes to the right side, but he was never going to get on the end of that. And FC United match is now Joel Senior, possibly today's man of the match, Joel Senior, depending if he scores his penalty or not, because he's had a very, very good game. But it remains, it's 2-1 now, and Joel Senior. Steve,
has he got the energy left?
The man from the BBC is very confident in something happening. And
a decisive moment.
Senior, he's had a great, great season. He steps up. Can he make it 2 apiece? No, he can't. Great save from Grant Shenton. Shenton got down to his right hand side, and it was a good strong palm there. Good arm, wasn't it?
Advantage Trafford.
Well, it's going to be Danny Caldecott. Again, he's had a workmanlike performance. And I think Caldecott is a player who actually drills them. I think I remember him taking a few penalties. He normally, or he has in the past, absolutely leathered and left-footed again.
Well, down the middle.
Steps up. What can he do? Oh, what a save from FC United, the Manchester's Allison. That was a wonder save, because he palmed it up over the bar from distance. Great save. Shenton's was quality, Allison's was class.
So this is penalty number 6,
Scott Kay, 2 apiece. Penalty number 6, Scott Kay, the skipper.
It's still 2-1 to Trafford.
Yeah.
He's anticipating here.
2-1, yes, of course, sorry. Scott Kay, what can he do? Steps up. Kay against Shenton. Oh, back on level terms. Good penalty from the skipper there. Calm, coolness personified.
So, 3 penalties each, 2-2.
And it's going to be now, I think, is it the number 11? It is indeed for Trafford. And again, a bit of quality about Sean Miller in parts. Miller steps up against Allison. Miller, over the bar! His hands in his head, he can't believe he's put it over the bar, but he has.
So,
and now, Kieran Glynn.
Big chance for Glynn now to take the advantage. 3-3.
It's a pity Williams isn't taking one, but after him you have Williams, Glynn. The old bank, too old for you to that, Ben. You won't remember that. Well, Grant Shenton's disappeared. Oh, no, he's there. Kieran Glynn against Shenton. He steps up. Side of the bar and down. If you're going to score a penalty, make it look spectacular, and Kieran Glynn always does. So that's 3-2 to FC,
and we've got 1 penalty apiece left.
Yeah. And the penalty taker for Trafford will be Danny Frost.
Frost must score this penalty.
Frost must score,
otherwise the trophy comes back to Mostyn.
Danny Frost against FC United's Allenson. A long rope from Frost. What can he do? He misses! That's what he can do! He missed by a country mile! And FC United retain the Manchester Premier Cup in a penalty shootout. A wonder save from FC United's Allenson, and a good save from Grant Shenton. But FC United, well, overall, they deserve the game. They deserve to win it.
Yes.
And well, I'm that excited about the victory. I'm giving away my team sheets. That's how happy I am.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations as well.
Thank you very much.
What are you feeling after that?
Buzzing, yeah. Yeah, it's what we play football for. Like I said the other week, when it's the FA Cup or the Manchester Cup, we wanted to win it. Trafford played some good stuff tonight. I was impressed with them. They've got some good lads in there. We rode our luck a little bit in the first half. I thought they'd come out the better team. But the sending off probably helped us a little bit. We got control of the game. We created probably 25 chances in the second half, just couldn't put the ball in the net, and then obviously the horrible penalty shootout.
I mean, to be fair to Trafford, I mean, they've got a big game coming up on Thursday against Colwyn Bay, and they did make some changes, but that was a good first half for them, a great header from Derbyshire. It was like watching Jos Mitten from yesteryear.
He's a handful like that. To be fair, the sending off probably helped us out a lot tonight. It was a handful, but no, credit to the lads, they've dug in, they've stuck at it, and we've got our reward.
Senior got his first goal for the club tonight as well, his first senior goal, as we said on the radio, which we thought was quite funny. I don't know if you'd agree with that, but he had a great game tonight, didn't he?
Yeah, he's been solid all season. He's superb, and he's one of the lads that will be hopefully sitting down with ASAP and getting him tied to the club, because he's got a bright future here. And yeah, I've been ribbing him about scoring goals, so I'm glad he's got it in the end.
And when it comes to the penalty shootout, Glynn's penalty won it in the end. It was what did you think when it was headed towards the crossbar?
he's a very confident player, is Kieran, and I thought he was just going to stroll it in the bottom corner, and when he's put it in the top corner, I thought, oh no. And then as it's rising, you think nope, and then as it's coming back down off the crossbar, you think, oh no, that's it, it's gone. And then obviously when you see it back up again, and it's the roof of the net, happy days. And yeah, he's done well. He deserved his man of the match tonight. He controls games, he gets hold of the ball, he runs with it well. He's a complete player. He just needs to add goals to it now, I suppose.
And a good run out for Samoes as well. He's been impressive the last two times he's come on as a substitute, and today he was good. I thought Palmer was good as well when he came on.
Yeah, to be fair, they've both done really well. They both showed a lot of flair, and again, great on the ball, both of them. The confident lads. And if we can get that going into next season with a good pre-season, then we should be all right.
So, no favour this weekend. How are you taking this game? Are you going to be... What's your thoughts going into it for team selection?
We want to win every game. Obviously, we'll have a look, see if anybody's got any knocks. It gives us licence to rest a few lads and give some players some much-needed first-team experience. So we'll be looking at that and hopefully doing that. But we want to win the game. We want to go out on a high and then build on for next season.
Well, Tom, a big congratulations tonight. Happy birthday.
Cheers, man.
Tom Greaves there on Tuesday night following FC United's retention of the Manchester Premier Cup. Very shortly we'll be hearing if the women's team could continue the silverware theme and clinch the league title on Sunday afternoon. Before that, it's time for this week's club news. And we start this week with award news as FC United on Saturday confirmed their various winners. Triple winner of the Russell Delaney Fans, FC Juniors and FCUM Radio's Player of the Season awards went to FC United shot stopper Lloyd Allinson. While both the Players Player and Managers Player of the Season awards went to FC United young right back Joel Senior. In addition, the Supporters Player of the Season award for the women's team went to goal machine Jess Battle, while Academy prospect Max Lewins won Academy Student of the Year. A big congratulations, one and all. In other news, and the club announced on Friday the extension of current player manager Tom Greaves' contract until the end of the 18-19 season. FCUM Radio caught up with Tom on Friday lunchtime for his reaction.
So, Tom, a big congratulations. How does it feel?
Thank you very much for starting. Unbelievable, really. It's something I've never expected. Obviously, when I first took the job on as temporary, I was just honoured to be asked. And then it seemed to go quite well to start with. So we put our names in the hat and obviously took it to the end of the season. Still probably not expecting to go any further than that. But obviously being offered it, it's something that I can't say no to myself. Jack and Tom and Chappie feel really strongly about it. We're all massively passionate about the club and we want to help take it forward.
Now, as a player manager, as a young player manager as well, you've been on a very big learning curve over the last six or so months. I mean, we'll go into more depth about the season that's just gone in later interviews, I feel. But what have you learned over the past 6 months as an FC United player manager about the club?
Well, for starters, you can't please everybody. You're only going to be liked by the 11 that you start in every game. So that's been a tricky one to get used to. And to be honest, I'm just taking everything as it comes, really, and trying to pick things up off everybody else and try to get a little bit of advice from everybody. Jack and Tom have helped me massively. I've got a lot of friends in football management as well, so I'm literally speaking to them on a regular basis and taking anything I can out of them. So, but yeah, the biggest thing I've learned is that I can't please everybody, whether it's myself, fans, the players, family. Not everybody is going to be happy.
Yeah, you do have to develop that thick skin as a manager in any walk of life, essentially, because you know, it's, you go back to last week and the issues around the non-contracted players and that kind of thing. One thing that has been prevalent in relation to that really is the playing budget, and that's what something that you've had to get your head round in a short space of time as well. I'm not going to ask you what the playing budget is for next season, but I think it's going to be less than possibly what it's been in the closest stage of the season. So how difficult is that side of things to get your head round, choose a Harry Redknapp term, wheeling and dealing and that kind of thing?
Yeah, of course it's difficult. You'd like an endless pot of money to be able to throw at everybody, but that's not to be where we're at the minute. And obviously we understand that, the lads understand that as well, and I think the fans understand that. So we've just got to box clever with the players, and I'm not saying offer them as little as we can, but we've just got to get the best players that we can for as cheap as we can, really. And it will be difficult, but there is players out there that are still like myself and just want to play for the badge and not in this game for the money. So we've just got to find them and hopefully bring them in.
And the other thing is, obviously, goal scoring has been a problem this season. The away form has been a problem this season. You've got a set of youngsters there who are all on contracts. So you've got to kind of, like you said there, try and plug the gaps that we've had this season to kick us on for next season. So how are you looking forward to that challenge?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's something that we've talked about a lot. Obviously, the goal scoring side of it, when you lose somebody like Jason Gilchrist, it's always going to be difficult to replace him. And the away form is something that we spoke about lots and lots. And to be fair, sometimes can't quite put the finger on why it's going wrong. I mean, we've had some superb results away from home, like Spennymoor's, Salford, Boston's. There have been some really, really entertaining games, some good football and scoring lots of goals. So we've just got to turn them points into 3 points and the losers into a point. And we wouldn't have been far off the playoffs this season. So it's something that we are addressing and we are talking about. We know what we've got to improve on. We know what we've got to keep improving on, like the home record and stuff like that. We've got to keep pushing on with that. The season before, I think we were better away from home than we were at home. So fingers crossed we can hit the ground running the first couple of games of the season, and that sets everybody's mind, and we can go out and just do our best and finish as high up the table as possible.
It's kind of exciting as well, I'd imagine, and something you kind of relish, because obviously we've had 12 years of Margie and all the various different squads that we had as we climbed the football pyramid, and this is essentially you've still had that squad with a couple of additions, and one thing that has been prevalent under your 6 months is you were willing to give the youngsters a chance in the squad. What do you feel a Tom Greaves side is going to look like come this time next season?
Hopefully just a really good balance of giving the youngsters a try, but also having that mix of experienced lads in there as well. I don't think you can go with a full side of youngsters, because it's a very, very competitive league. There's a lot of full-time teams in there that are paying a lot of money and getting lads that could probably be playing in the league, but they're quite happy to play here for a lot of money and have a job as well at the same time. So it's difficult. You've got to get that balance right. I mean, we've got some great youngsters in there, but they'll shine even more with a lot of experienced lads in. So that's what we're looking for, to get a good balance. And our main target will be a good goal scorer.
And the other thing is as well, it's obviously one thing that I think has impressed is the training side of things, and the fact that you and your coaching staff aren't afraid to mix things up a bit when it comes to tactics and that kind of thing. The other thing you were doing was when it wasn't quite working out, you weren't afraid to bring the players in for an extra day's worth of training. And obviously we are dealing with full-time sides in the league this season. Is that something that you're willing to look into as well sporadically during the season to try and bridge that gap with the full-time sides, like, say, for example, Spennymoor have done?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's something that we'll look at. We worked a lot on shape, because obviously we don't get to see the lads that often. So shape will be a massive thing. We've got to be as organised as we can. And we'd like to do a lot on set pieces as well. It's something that we probably haven't done as much as what we should have done. And you come across teams where you're defending corners and they've got 5, 6, 7, 8 different set pieces. So we want to be working on stuff like that, because that gets you points, to be fair, and points is what gets you up the table. Yeah, we will bring the lads in maybe on a Monday if we've got a Tuesday game to work on formations and set plays and stuff like that. So yeah, so, to be fair, it's down to the lads as well. You could quite easily get a handful that say, no, thank you, I'm here Tuesday, Thursday, and that's why I'm assigned. But they've all been superb. I can't fault any of them. Their attitudes since we took over has been phenomenal.
And finally then, Tom, you touched upon it earlier about how you can't please everyone. The FC United job is quite a high-pressured one. I don't think a lot of people realise that outside the club, because essentially every supporter in the stand is also your boss. So it is a tricky job. And obviously there's all the branches, all the appearances in front of supporters to explain yourself on a regular basis. Is that something you'll be looking to do? We did toy with the idea of Q&As and that kind of thing. I did get the impression when you first came in that you wanted to re-engage with the supporters and make sure the players were part of that side of things as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I first came in, we were visiting different branch meetings and stuff like that, and it's something that I always enjoyed. I'll always give my time to the fans, and that's what I've tried to get across to the lads as well. Obviously, a lot of them are young lads, and it can be a little bit intimidating going over, even just after the game, and giving people high fives and having selfies and signing things. It becomes a little bit surreal, but it's something that I'd like to get across to the lads, and they're just doing that naturally then. Before we go, I just say a massive thank you to all the fans. They've been absolutely unbelievable since day one, never mind since I took over. And we'll be doing everything we can for next season to make it as exciting as possible. So get your season tickets bought and come and support us, and hopefully that fortress broadness will continue.
FC United permanent player-manager Tom Greaves there, speaking to FCUM Radio on Friday afternoon. To the weekend's football now, and on Saturday afternoon, FC United hosted North Ferriby United in the final league game of the season. It's back over to our FC Live team now at Broadhurst Park for all the action.
Well, Cook, he's doing what he did on this side. He's stealing about as many yards as he can before the referee says anything, but the throw-in's taken, given away. Jones on the ball now, plays about a fag ball. The fag ball stabs the ball forward. It's headed away though by Jack Mayle, and it's Ferriby have it on the halfway line, right hand side. Ball down the right, a decent ball, but it's FC United Manchester's number 6 who can't get to the end of it. The ball, it's a penalty opportunity for a shot, and it should be a goal.
It
is a goal.
Yes.
And it's a goal out of nothing for the visitors, and FC United Manchester find Luke themselves Loft trailing within 3 minutes of this second half, and Luke Loft is the man who gets the goal. And it was well worked to a degree, but it was poor defending from FC United, and maybe this game could be kicked into life.
Well, to be honest, I mean, Luke Loft has been doing little bits and showing little bits of magic there in the first half, you know, and his linked up play, carried on his run, received the ball back again, and just plonked it in the far post area with his left peg. So,
well, FC United have come out, as I said, FC have come out done the very best to help the opposition to take the lead, and that's exactly what's happened. Well, no rush for the visitors. 1-0 up here. It'll be their fourth win of the season, will it?
I tell you what, it's very much a young team this that they've got here, isn't it? You know, the young 14 there, Jack Smith, he only looks a young one, and the big lad up front, Josh Walker, he only looks a young one.
Well, they're a team that are going to be playing their trade in the Northern Premier Division next season. So, cutting the cloth accordingly, and also perhaps building a team that can compete. And it's going to be a free kick, though, to FC United of Manchester. Taken quickly, and Sam Baird takes over in the halfway line. But I think Baird really needed that ball, because he's lost it. And there's an opportunity now for Josh Walker. Walker plays the ball inside to Lofts. Lofts now, can he get the second ball? It should be 2-0. It will be 2-0. And that was Sam Beardsley losing the ball on the halfway line. The ball played across to him wasn't required, wasn't needed. He was closed down so quickly. And FC United, well, it's Youth United Day. Hoodoo once again, 2-0 down. And yeah, Sam Baird, man of the match in the last couple of games there, just losing the ball. But to be honest, you lose it, what, just on the halfway line, you've got to do better from your defensive duties, and no one was there, and there was Luke Loft to score his second of the game, 2-0.
No, Luke Loft's on his hat-trick now, isn't he? And to be honest, he's been possibly their best player. He's created a lot in that little pocket, you know, behind the centre-forward, but the poor ball, square ball, straight across into number 15, Josh Walker's stride. He went away, did a lovely little check back ball with his right foot into the centre of the box, and Luke Loft shimmied to sort of put a right foot shot in, and sent Allenson completely the wrong way and come back onto his left and just plonked it in.
Well, goals like that don't happen if you're playing 10 yards, 20 yards forward, and FC United have played the vast majority of the game is where the ball is now, their own final third. and that has been poor.
But they've also not been anticipating or moving, you know, into balls that they could take on the run into space. They've been standing watching. They've been very pedestrian.
And FC United and Manchester finished the season in 16th position, and possibly, I was got to say, the worst performance of the season as well. There's been, well, it's lacked from minute one to minute 93, and unfortunately Youth United Day again comes to bite us, and it's not to be. But a great crowd, great support, safe for a season, which is fantastic. Equally, the Manchester Premier Cup winners and retain that, but a poor, poor game, guys.
It was a poor game. I just look at the efforts of some of the players. I'm absolutely baffled with the man of the match, because to me, the man of the match was Hughes, and it was Hughes right from the first minute to the last minute. Poor balance in the team, caused by the substitutions as well, I've got to say that. And there wasn't a great deal of cut and thrust up front until McCarthy came on. He actually went at him. So, you know, you look at the game as a whole, it's just poor in its negatives rather than positives. The only big positive is FC are in this division again next year, off this showing.
Well, it's not a game that would entice many people back, but that's football for you, unfortunately. Sometimes it's just not to be. Sometimes you can't get going in the game, and it was pretty much evident. Well done to the Ferriby.
I think they came, they, you know, from the off, they could see FC were never interested. And that's a disappointing thing, you know, from the start of the game, the pace that they played with, and North Ferriby took advantage of that. They're not going to be in this league next year, but they've finished the season on a high. You finish with success, and that takes you into the next year. So for them, they've got something to build on.
And they played the football in a nice manner.
Yeah, they did. And you could see the effort that they were putting in. They made some great runs up front and found the space, and then they created the opportunities and scored the goals.
And a young team as well, a very young team.
Yeah, they do. You look at them, and the subs that they made as well, the players that came off were very young and replaced by youngsters. So, you know, a positive for them, and they're getting the plaudits for it that they deserve. It wasn't a great game. No, it's not how you want to finish the season. You play your final game at home, and you expect a lot more.
I can understand that, you know, Emily. I just feel that, you know, the substitutions just didn't add to actually going and winning the game,
build up to the
in
game,
any way, shape or form.
He couldn't have set them up for this game, because I expected them to come and start the match, the starting team, the starting 11, to really come out of the traps and attack from the start. And they never did it. They just kind of kept possession, and then that just, it was difficult then to get out of it. And like you say, then they made the substitutions that didn't bring anything extra. They didn't add, and you expect substitutions to change games
Well, I've seldom ever heard you say you're annoyed.
I know. Well, I don't get annoyed.
You're the voice of reason in a lot of ways, aren't you?
And I try not to let my feelings overrun into it, but that game, as a neutral, I'd be frustrated with having to watch that. It was slow. There was no invention, there was nothing exciting happening, and nothing really changed throughout the whole of the games, the 90 minutes. It was a long game of football.
The thing is, like, when you make substitutions should affect the game for the better.
Yeah, positive.
And you've got
changes.
To say this, the first substitution was baffling to me, because we was actually talking in the first half, saying that it needed someone in midfield to make them runs to bridge the gap that was there to get at their back four, and that substitution for me should have been Kieran Glynn.
Yeah.
Right, the next substitution, so what happens then is they move Palmer from a central area in the midfield out to a position out on the left, where basically he isolated himself by doing so. Why not bring Higham on, right, for that one? And then, to me, again, an overdue substitution was McCarthy, who, for whatever criticisms he's had this season, over the last couple of games has put an effort in, and he came on and he made his runs and what have you. So for me, that should have been the third substitution. But you know, it just showed a total imbalance in FC's style of play that didn't help their cause in any way, shape or form to get a result.
No, it was a game really, as you say, the balance wasn't quite there. I think it was an interesting starting 11 in fairness. You know, Kieran was man of the match on Tuesday, scored a penalty, you know, and was very instrumental in the game. And I was surprised, especially, you know, with being Youth United Day, you know, it's like it's akin to keeping Carlos Rocca out of a team on Youth United Day when kids will come and go, well, who's that? I mean, my brother had a word in my ear. He said that number 14 who's come on is decent, isn't he? Mm. So, you know, that's what you want to see. You want players of that calibre and quality. But, you know, I mean, after all that's being said, though, we're playing a team that have been relegated.
Yeah, relegated. Yeah,
and they've been relegated for a little while now. Mm. So they've had their games where they can play with freedom, and then they go back to their old ways.
I think that's making a little bit of a.
I'll say they've had those games already. Yeah. They're gone. Yeah. They're then getting beat again, back to the ways they have been all season.
Yeah.
So to come here really, get in a performance.
I think we've aided their performance by playing so poorly.
We've aided it.
You know, I think. The start of the game, the first 5-10 minutes, you knew that this was a team that needed to be attacked, and they would have been well beaten today. But we allowed them to play themselves into the game, gain confidence as they went, and credit to them, they did that, and they started creating things.
Your last game should set yourself up for your next season.
Well, you look at
end
the players,
of story. I'll tell you what.
Who are you going to talk about?
Luke Lofts.
Who are you going to talk about in that game? If you were there today, you'd be talking about
Luke Lofts, Bobby Johnson.
Bobby Johnson.
James Pearson.
Jamie Forrester's had a good game. Yeah. You know, you can talk about...
I couldn't talk about any of ours other than Hughes, because he's played his position well and he's done what he needed
I'll
to do.
I'll tell you what, I want my betting, not one of them's over 21 years of age.
Your starting 11 should be the team that you want to go out and win the game with.
Yeah, to win
and
the game.
I don't think that FC went with that. I think they just picked a team to finish the season.
To give everybody a game.
That's it. And that's the wrong attitude to have. For me, Kieran Glynn should have started and we should have gone at them, and then you go a couple of goals ahead, and then that's when you can start introducing other players to it. You go out and you win the game first. You don't just turn up to play because it ends up being like that.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon, and for a run through all the results from elsewhere on Saturday and for the final league standings, it's now time to welcome back Marv Willis for another edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers, and hello everybody, and welcome to the final edition of Marv's Sports Report of the season with me, Marv. Well, with that defeat for FC United, Tommy's Terriers finished the season in 16th position. But we do have to congratulate Salford City, who beat Leamington 4-0 on Saturday and have secured promotion to the conference as champions. Well done, Salford. That leaves one of the promotion spots up for grabs, and finishing in the playoffs to get that promotion, we have Harrogate Town, Brackley, Kidderminster, Stockport County, Chorley, and finishing the season just inside the playoffs, it's a congratulations to Bradford Park Avenue, who picked Spennymoor to that final playoff spot following a 2-1 away win at Kidderminster on Saturday afternoon. So, out with one of those playoff contenders for next season, plus Salford of course, whilst also leaving us but through the back door, we say farewell to North Ferriby, Gainsborough Trinity and Tamworth. So, what about next season's opponents for FC? Well, confirmed now, promoted out of the NPL, we have Altrincham, plus one of either Ashton United, Warrington Town, Grantham or Farsley Celtic. While joining FC from the league above, we will be joined by our old friends Chester and Geisley. Super. And that is the end of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv, for this season. You have fun now, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Marv. To the women's team now, and on Sunday afternoon, FC United hosted Crew Alexandra Development in the final home league match of the season. Knowing that a win for Luke Podmore's side would confirm the league title and promotion for the Reds, to find out if they could do it, it's over to WT Live on Sunday afternoon.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the back of the main stand here at Broadhurst Park for what could prove to be a very historic occasion for FC United and its women's team, as FC United this afternoon take on Crewe Alexandra. A win this afternoon could see FC United crowned champions of the North West Regional Women's League Division 1 South and promoted to the North West Premier Division. And joining me for this momentous occasion, hopefully, we're joined by Stato Paul. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
So it is a big occasion, this one. We should say team news going into this game. There are a couple of players missing. That's due to the People's Cup and how well we've done at the old futsal this season, Paul.
Yes, we're fighting on another front for another trophy at St George's Park, I think it is, this afternoon. So the team has been rejigged a little bit, but we're confident that we've got sufficient strength in the squad today to wrap up the title.
Well, missing this afternoon, we've got Fran Sullivan, Fran Davis, Jess Battle isn't here, Cara Fields isn't here. These are big, important players, but Luke's been talking about the importance of the squad, and like you say, Paul, they are still a very, very good side, and we've still got all the hallmarks of a good team. The other thing we should say, it's good to see Rebecca Foster lining up after a knock she picked up last week in the Argyle Cup semi.
Yeah, obviously it's a very big day for us today. This is our third season in this division, and hopefully by tonight we'll have wrapped up the title, which is ironic because it took us 3 years to get out the previous division. So there's a bit of a pattern developing.
Yes, hopefully the promotion after that won't take as long. We should also say that obviously West Didsbury and Charlton are in second place at the moment. They need to keep winning as well to keep this title race alive. FC United, already County Cup winners. What can they do here in the league? Can they seal it this Sunday afternoon and head off into the Argyle Cup final in a couple of weeks' time? But we're waiting for this game to get underway, so let's bring you all the goal highlights now. Obviously, like we said, we are missing the goal potency of Fran Sullivan and Jess Battle all in the same game, but there's still plenty of goals in this FC United team. Here's Chambers now with this cross. Oh, that's a good cross into the box, dealt with again, and it's the third corner in the matter of a minute here at Broadhurst Park. Christy Chambers, fine corner that time. Mixes it up a bit this time. Goes short to Chelsea Flanagan. Ball played back. Here's Kirsty Chambers now. On her left. On the corner of the box. Shoots. It beats the goalkeeper. And into the bottom corner. And Kirsty Chambers here at Broadhurst Park on 7 minutes. Sees FC United into the lead.
Well, it wasn't the greatest strike of all time. But it was enough to creep in at the back. Through a crowd of players. And I think the goalkeeper maybe was onside, to be fair.
Free kick taken. Foster controls it well. Foster plays the ball forward there to Chelsea Flanagan. Lays it off there to Greenall. Greenall, first time pass to Winters. Winters on the far touchline. Heading towards the byline. Checks inside now with the ball. To the edge of the box it goes to Hatcliffe. Hatcliffe plays it all the way back to Foster. Patient stuff here from FC United. To Greenall. Greenall now plays the ball into the box. To Hatcliffe. Hatcliffe cross comes shot. Flanagan on the rebound. FC United on 21 minutes. 2-0 up, Paul.
Yeah, bit of a mistake by the keeper, perhaps. I think Hatcliffe played the ball. I don't think it really was a shot. Do you think it was a shot?
I thought it was a shot.
A kind of a shot. Yeah. It was across the box. And the keeper, unfortunately, just pushed it out straight to Flanagan, who converted from close range.
Patient on the right-hand side. To Flanagan. Flanagan, back it goes to Patient.
Trying to draw them out,
yeah,
aren't we?
It's precision stuff, this, from FC United. Foster's ball gets to Forshaw. Forshaw on this left-hand side now. Looking for runners. Finds Chambers. Chambers now on the left-hand side. Oh, lovely turn for Kirsty Chambers. Beats one player. Beats her again. Shot comes in. Top corner. Oh. And that on 23 minutes. Paul, I'm gonna say that's probably the league title done and dusted now, Paul.
Well, that was a blistering strike from an angle that ripped into the roof of the net, and Badly in goal didn't have a prayer. But yes, 3-0 is a definite comfort zone when you really only need to win.
Foster now driving the ball out of the FC United penalty area. Plays the ball sidewards to Greenall. Greenall to Forshaw. Back it goes to Greenall. Heading slowly towards the halfway line. Here's Hatcliffe. Hatcliffe now. Plays the ball along the halfway line to McCarrick. McCarrick still on the ball. Beats one player. Beats two players. McCarrick now driving forward towards the crew box. Releases Chambers. Chambers is going to belt this into the top corner. And on 27 minutes, FC United 4-0 up, Paul.
All down to Jess McCarrick for the end product there.
Out to his right-hand side. Oh, good stuff there from Forshaw. Forshaw now on the ball. Driving it forward down the left. finds the Hatcliffe. Hatcliffe is one-on-one with a goalkeeper. 5-0. 30 minutes gone, Paul. This is remarkable, isn't it?
Well, there are different ways to win a game. You can go out blazing like the women have done this afternoon. They really are out to make a point, aren't they?
4 goals in the last 10 minutes. It's just... What can you say? It's not like Crew's played bad. Gemma Jackson now back with the ball for FC United's women's team. Been a bit of a spectator in this first half.
You won't be surprised that the possession is 84%.
It is Forshaw. Forward it goes to Flanagan on the halfway line. Shields it well, gets it back to McCarrick. Plays it square to Greenall. Greenall plays it over the top. Chambers is onside. Chambers into the penalty area. Plays the ball back to Hatcliffe. 6-0.
Well, that was great unselfish play from Kirsty Chambers.
44 minutes gone here at Broadhurst Park. The title, I think, is now safe in the bag. 6-0 to FC United. And who's going to get to that second ball? It's going to be Lomax. Lomax now for FC United. Plays the ball square to Vias. Vias midway into Crew's half. FC United playing it all the way back to the halfway line to Patient. Patient releases Hatcliffe, who's onside. Hatcliffe, one-on-one with the keeper. A hat-trick for Nicole Hatcliffe on 52 minutes. FC United 7-0 up. Back it goes to Amy Vias. Amy Vias now midway into Crew's half. Is she lining up a shot? No, she passes the ball into the penalty area. Here's Flanagan. Flanagan on the penalty spot. Into the corner. FC United on 62 minutes, 8-0 up.
Well, the strength there inside the penalty area was much too good for the back four.
Lomax. Lomax plays it back to Greenall. Greenall now. Back to Foster. Back to Greenall. To Vias. To Foster. Backheel to Greenall. Greenall now. To Chambers. Chambers now. A nice flick by Chambers into the penalty area. Lining up a shot. Shot comes in. Into the near post it goes. 9-0 FC United. 66 minutes gone. Kirsty Chambers there with her fourth goal. And now Crew. Cross comes in. Ball reaches Lomax. Lomax can bring the ball out. Plays the ball to Foster. There's a run here from Flanagan. Foster, can she get the ball to Flanagan? She can. Flanagan is into the penalty area. Is she going to score a hat-trick? Yes, she is. A hat-trick for Chelsea Flanagan. 4 goals for Kirsty Chambers. A hat-trick for Nicole Hatcliffe. It's 10 goals for FC United. 78 minutes on the clock here, Paul.
I don't think it was ever in doubt that she was going to miss there. You just knew she was going to have the body strength to keep the defender at arm's length. And the finish, well, she just went as close as she wanted to the keeper and stroked it into the corner.
Well, there we go. Double figures. County Cup champions, league champions.
Well, they've certainly not done it by halves today.
A big congratulations to everyone associated with FC United's women's team. Champions of the Northwest Regional Women's League, Division 1 South, promoted into the Premier Division. 10-0 winners this afternoon against Crewe Alex. A hat-trick for Chelsea Flanagan, a hat-trick for Nicole Hatcliffe, 4 goals for captain Kirsty Chambers. We're missing some very important players this afternoon.
Some big hitters.
We'll come to what the title means for FC United in a second, Paul, but just your reaction to this afternoon's performance first.
Well, the performance was even more than we were hoping for, in that we dismantled it. Not a bad side, a side that came here with good intentions. They were just blown away early on, and that was the key, really. Once we got a grip on the goals, we scored 3 very quick goals, and after that it was very much hard work for Crewe to keep up with us. And a well-deserved title win. We've beaten all the sides in the division, and you can't do much more than that.
And And we've done it by only dropping 2 points, Paul.
Yeah.
And I know we've got 1 game left. Well, we've got 2 games left.
Two to go.
2 yeah. games left, so that stat might change.
Yeah.
But it's just been a phenomenal, marauding season, hasn't it?
Well, as I mentioned before, the champagne's getting popped now.
They could have waited for us.
Three years ago, it was three years in the making, this league title. And it took us 3 years to win the last one. 2015, Kirsty Chambers scored the key goal against Charltonians at Abraham Moss. For those of you who can remember that.
And in that game, we were 2 goals down, and we came back to win 4-2 to win the title. This title has been a little bit more clear-cut. There may not be a trophy available today. We don't know. It could be that Merseyrail Bootle won't let go of it just yet, who pips his last season. But we've had two near misses in this division, and now we've cracked it.
It's been a phenomenal season, and there's still a couple of games left. Obviously, there's the rearranged Curzon match. There's also Wednesday's game against Northwich Vixens away from home. 6:30 kick-off in that one. We should say the Curzon match will be away on Monday the 7th, Bank Holiday Monday. And then there's the Argyle Cup, where FC United could win a historic treble, which would be a remarkable achievement and something that FC United should be very proud of if that happens. We're proud nonetheless, Paul, because now the women's team are the senior members of the playing staff, aren't
they? Which leads me into a quick rundown of the women's pyramid. For those of you who don't know a lot about women's football and the soccer pyramid, we started at step 7 in 2012, which was the county league level, and that was the Greater Manchester Women's Football League Division 1. And, of course, we won that in 2015. We came into Step 6, which is where we are now, which is the Northwest Women's Regional League Division 1 South. Next season, we go into the Northwest Women's Premier League, which is currently topped by Burnley, and they have also the likes of Stockport County, Wigan, Merseyrail Bootle and CMB, and Manchester Stingers, two sides who we've beaten in recent weeks. Step 4 is the FA Women's Premier League North Division 1, which is led by Hull City. They've got, in that division, they've got Liverpool, Morecambe, Bolton, Crewe Alexandra first team, not the team we've just seen this afternoon, and Chorley. Step 3, you go to the FA Women's Premier League North, which is topped at the moment by Middlesbrough. They've got the likes of Blackburn and Fylde. Then we go into the big time, which is the Super League area. Division 2 is currently led by Doncaster Bells. They've got Tottenham and Aston Villa for company. And, of course, the very top of the pyramid is the Division 1, which is led by Chelsea, ahead of Manchester City, Liverpool, Everton and other big clubs.
So, realistically...
So if you look at it historically, FC United men's team have been playing now 13 seasons, and they've gone from Step 10 to Step 6, OK... The women's team started in 2012 at step 7, and they've now got to step 5. So they're a step ahead of the men.
And as we've seen already this season and last season as well in some of the games, SC United's women's team can compete at step 5 quite convincingly at times.
We've recorded wins against, I think it's probably 5 or 6 now at that level. And considering there's, I think it's, not sure how many clubs there are in that division. I think it's about, is it about 12 or something like that? I don't think there's many fears for next season. Presumably Luke will keep his squad together as best he can. He will probably strengthen again, which he keeps doing. He's always on the lookout for good players. He's got good contacts within the game. And I don't think there's any fears next season. I think Luke will be aiming to fight for another promotion. I don't think it'll be any consolidation whatsoever.
Well, it's been a cracking season, and there's still one last Women's Team Live to bring you. That'll be taking place on the 13th of May from Runcorn Linnets, the champions of the North West Counties in the men's game, we should say. Big congratulations to them, who were a fan-owned club, who won the league this weekend. We'll be there on the 13th of May, Sunday the 13th, for FC United against Stockport County's first team, and that'll be taking place at 4 o'clock, we believe, on the 13th of May.
But we will put out some publicity,
yes, of course.
beforehand, so yeah. keep posted for that.
And we'll have full coverage here on SC Radio if you can't make it in person. Just to confirm, two matches left for the women's team in the league. Northwich Vixens away on Wednesday evening. It's a 6:30 kickoff at Lostock Grellham FC. And Curzon Ashton on Bank Holiday Monday, 4 o'clock kickoff at St Matthew's here, yes, over in Moston. But that is it for Women's Team Live when it comes to the league here at Broadhurst Park. A big thank you to Stato Paul for joining me all season. A big thank you to everyone associated with the women's team here at Broadhurst Park, especially the players as well. We've described commentating the women's team this season as a bit of a sorbet to relieve the palate after watching the men's team on some occasions this season.
It's been a joy.
It really has. A lot of goals going in, but also a lot of commitment and a lot of great football too. It's no accident that FC United are on the verge of winning three trophies. It's been a cracking season. Big congratulations on the latest success in the league. Onwards and upwards for Luke Podmore's side. A big thank you to you too, dear listener, for joining us every Sunday. But from me, Ben, and from this guy here, Stato Paul, enjoy your Sunday. Farewell.
What can you say on a day like that? I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore and goalkeeper coach Mark Partington. We've won 10-0. That's 2 out of 3 done. But what a good performance as well.
Oh, yeah. From the moment the whistle went, really, our girls had not there for breakfast, but they meant business today. And it was a bit hard. You know, it was hard to watch at times. But they shown really on that pitch today how much they wanted to tie this league up and make sure they won it. And full credit to them. Some of the football they played was absolutely outstanding. So.
Yeah, I mean, given the fact that half the team's down at St George's Park doing quite well themselves, yeah. It was a performance that didn't appear like there was anybody missing. What did you think? I mean, Gemma didn't have too much today, but yeah. There was a couple of shots coming her way, though.
Yeah, I think it just shows the strength and depth that we've got and that everyone buys into the philosophy that we have. We all play the same way. You know, whoever comes in can slot in and do a job for us. It was just a fantastic team performance. I really enjoyed watching it, and I know they enjoyed playing it, and I'm sure the fans enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want Chris to get a knock too early on, but it's almost like supercharged it, really. There was absolutely four blistering goals that she scored today.
Yeah, and like I say, I think it probably means more to Kirsten than it does to anybody. She's been here, you know, through the previous sort of painful seasons where they've missed out and all that came out in the performance. I think she channeled it really well. And yeah, me and Matt both noticed on silence that she had a supercharged performance today, which was great to see.
Yes, and another hat-trick from Nicole, another one from Chelsea Patient. So the ones who are not necessarily always first-time starters really revved up and... giving their goalkeeper certainly a lot of hard work to do today.
Yeah, obviously, like Matt said, we've got a great strength in depth. We've got people who've just come into the team and can make an off stamp their authority on the game. You know, Chelsea Flanagan scored 3, Nick scored 3. Great to see them get on the score sheet as well. So, it was the ultimate team performance today, and that's what's so fitting about it being the day where we can win the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's always lovely to say champions. I mean, there's nothing better than winning the league. Cups are nice, leagues are always better, but we've still got one cup to go in 2 or 3 weeks now.
Yeah, it's we set out from day one to win the league and win our county cup, and the league cup would be a bonus, so we're fully focused on that now. We're in good form, reasonably good shape, players injury-wise, so yeah. Everything will be channeled into winning that as well now. Obviously, we respect whoever, you know, is Stockport, is it, we've got in the final.
Yeah.
We respect them, but we will go there, like, without fear. You know, we're confident.
Yeah, we don't know much about them. We've not played them before, but I'm sure that, I mean, they're doing well in that league, I guess. But we've played most of the teams in that league over the last couple of years and had decent results out of it, so there shouldn't be no fear.
Yeah, it's a cup final at the end of the day, so, you know, they might look at it and they think they're the strongest team in it, but... I'd hope in the back of their mind they'll be thinking, well, it's a 90-minute game and anything could happen in that game. And yeah, like I say, we'll be fully confident that we can really compete. And if we're after 90 minutes we're there, then that'll be great to do the travel.
Right, so we've tied it up, but there's still a couple of league games to go.
Yeah, a couple of league games to go. Northwich on Wednesday. We're still awaiting the Curzon date. We'll probably think that's going to be Sunday the 6th because that's the only next available date, really. And then yeah, it's the on the 13th. It's the big one, the Argyle Cup final. So
yeah, so three more games to go to. So get yourself down to Northwich Victoria come Wednesday, 6:30 kickoff.
6:30 kickoff, Lostock Gralham FC. Hopefully again we can make it another win in the league, and yeah.
Yeah, keep it going. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Neil.
And a big, big congratulations to everyone associated with the women's team for a fantastic league campaign. And the winning didn't stop there for FC United women's team. I can happily report that in the final of the FA People's Cup at St George's Park on Sunday afternoon, FC United were victorious in the final of the female adults division, winning 3-2 on penalties following a 0-0 draw with Meridian. And on that happy note, that is the end of This Club Is My Club for this week. We'll be back next week with a special review of the 17-18 season, and we'll return with our normal show on Monday the 14th of May, hopefully with some good news from the Argyle Cup final. In the meantime, you can hear this show on Mondays and Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/fcumradio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.